I was telling Patty a little bit ago, I think I'm going to start wearing her hat. David, today, you know, David was a man after God's own heart. He made a lot of mistakes. However, he took care of his mistakes. Today the lesson is about, you know, sometimes, like David, he wasn't selfish at all. He wanted to build a house for the Lord. You know, he stopped and looked at his own life, and he looked at what God had done for him and the way God had blessed him, and he said, you know, here I am, I'm living in a house of cedar, and God has a house of curtains. And he said, that just, excuse me with my English, that just ain't right. And he wanted to build a house that was appropriate for God, that would show him for what he is. You know, instead of living in a tent, I want to build him a permanent place of dwelling. And that was his desire that he wanted. But God told him, he said, David, I appreciate this. However, you got too much blood on your hands. You've spilt too much blood upon the earth. You can't do it. But he said, you're going to have a son. You're going to call his name Solomon. And he is going to build a house that you want to build. So David immediately went to work. He got busy and he started preparing for his son to build a house that he himself wanted to build. Now, a lot of people were not concerned in putting forth a lot of effort to help someone else to get praise. But David wasn't that way. He wanted to build that house, but when God said, you can't do it, that didn't bother him. He wanted God to have a house so much that he got busy and started preparing things so his son could build a house. He didn't care about himself receiving the glory. He wanted God to receive the glory. And he wanted God to have a magnificent house that he could call his own dwelling place. You know, David does not have to receive the honor for God's work that he has a part in. He just wants God's work completed for the glory of God. That's his purpose. Now, there's a lot of verses that go along with this. So, 1 Chronicles chapter 22. Let's start reading there. 1 Chronicles 22. And then, if you get a chance, open up to 1 Kings chapter 2. 1 Chronicles 22, verse 5. David said, Solomon, my son, is young and tender, and the house that is to be builded for the Lord must be exceedingly, look at this next word, magnifical, of fame and of glory throughout the countries. It will stand out above everything else that's ever been built. It will be magnifical of fame and of glory throughout all the countries. And listen to what he said. I will therefore now make preparations for it. So David prepared abundantly before his death. He just wanted God to have that magnificent house. He didn't care if he got the glory for building it or not. And whoever built a house like that would have received a lot of glory. But David says, I don't have to be the one to do it. I'll do all I can to help someone else to do it because I want God to have that house. Then verse 6 he says, and he called for Solomon his son, and he charged him to build a house for the Lord God of Israel. And David said to Solomon, my son, as for me, it was in my mind to build a house unto the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me, saying, thou hast shed blood abundantly and hast made great wars. Thou shalt not build a house unto my name,
because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. Behold, a son shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest. And listen to what he said. David's been fighting a lot of battles, but here's what David says to him. God said, I will give him rest from all his enemies round about, for his name shall be Solomon, and I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. Verse 10, he shall build an house for my name. He shall be my son. I will be his father. And I will establish thy throne, the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. Now, my son, the Lord be with you and prosper thee, and build the house of the Lord thy God, as he said of thee. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding, and give thee charge concerning Israel, that thou mayest keep the law of the Lord thy God. Then shalt thou prosper, if thou takest heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments which the Lord charged Moses with concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage. Dread not, nor be dismayed. Nor behold, in my trouble I have prepared for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold, 1,000 talents of silver, and of brass and iron without weight, for it is in abundance. Timber also and stone have I prepared, and thou mayest add thereto. Moreover, there are workmen with thee in abundance, hewers, workers of stone and timber, all manners of cunning man, for every manner of work, of the gold, of the silver, of the brass, of the iron, there is no number. Arise, therefore, and be doing, and the Lord be with thee. You know, David wanted everything to be prepared for his son. Now, if that son would have had to prepare all the material plus build that house, it would have been many, many years in doing. But because David set about, as soon as he could, he set about preparing stuff. And, you know, he had had all these battles. He had won so many victories. He had a lot of respect from all the countries round about because they knew David. They knew who he was. They knew his Lord because of what he had done. They knew David and his Lord. So David was able to get them to pitch in together and help. Now, in the Scripture, some of these theologians say there's a mistake in this part because I forget the exact number. One place it says either 30 or 60,000 talents, and in another place it says 100,000 talents of gold. That's not a mistake. It's two different times that David gave toward that offering to help with God's house going up. But some of these theologians, you know, they know all the Bible, so they say, yeah, it's a mistake, but you go and read it yourself. Do you remember, is it 30 or 60 in the other place? It's either 30 or 60, whichever it is, and I may be wrong on that too. If I am, forgive me, because, you know, as I said, my tongue gets ahead of my brain sometimes. But anyhow, you know, David was able to prepare so much of the stuff that he took a big load off Solomon with the preparations. And he was able, because the people respected him, he was able to get it together. Now, the nearest I could come up with, even 100,000 talents of gold, it seemed like it was somewhere in the neighborhood of $120 billion. Plus the 60, plus all the other stuff that had been prepared. Man, you talk about a magnificent house that he was building. It was outstanding. But David said he wanted God to have a better house than he lived in. He wanted God to have something that people could respect him with. 1 Kings chapter 2. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong and show thyself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself, that the Lord may continue his word which he spoke concerning thee, saying, If thy children take heed to thy way to walk before me in truth with all their heart, with all their soul, thou shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. You know, it's been said that the greatest use of a life is to spend it doing something that will outlast it. You do something with your life that will outlast your life. And you know, as I thought about that, I thought, you know that little place that Debbie built? It outlasted her. And you know, when was it 19? Was it 72 that Disney World was opened? Does anyone remember? 71, 72, okay. I think his name was Vance. A woman come up to him and said to him, you know, isn't it a shame that Walt Disney's not here to see this amazing thing that's happened? And if it was Vance looked back at her and he said, you know, Walt Disney saw it, and that's the reason he's here today. You know, I like that. He did see what had taken place in his mind. He saw it. And you know, as I think about that, Debbie, her little place that she built wasn't that big. And when she built it, all she ever saw was open windows, no glass in it or anything like that, no landscaping done or anything. But you know, I think she saw the finished product. And I think she was happy with it. And I think, you know, she did something that outlasted her. And I like that. It says here that David knew his time on earth was drawing to a close, and he wanted to use the rest of his time doing something that was significant and that would bring honor and glory to the Lord. Now, in this, lesson, one thing we need to learn is this. The devotion that fueled David's desire to build a house for God. His devotion that fueled him. You know, that devotion was he wanted God to receive honor and glory and praise. And you know, you've heard me say this many times. You know, I'll say it here though. Our purpose for coming to church is not to come to get fed by the preacher. It's not to come to let our beautiful voice echo through the church. Our purpose in coming to church is to give God praise, honor, and glory that He deserves because of all that He's done for me. And if that's not my purpose for coming to church, I'm using the wrong reason for coming. My purpose for coming here today is to give honor and glory and praise to my God and Savior. And you know, that's what we need to stop and look at with David here. That was his whole purpose and what he wanted to do with that house that he wanted to build for God. And also through this lesson with David, another lesson that we should learn is we need to understand the importance of proper preparation for a worthwhile endeavor. Proper preparation. And you know, I'm not saying that I'm properly prepared. I will say this. I spend enough time. I should be properly prepared to teach, but I'm not saying I am. But, you know, we need to prepare for what we're doing. One thing that bothers me is, excuse me for saying it. I'm okay, thanks. I come in and Miss Donna says, let's see now, you're singing for us today? What kind of preparation have you done for singing to bring God glory, honor, and praise with your presentation that morning? What kind of proper preparation have we done? Pastor comes in. Guest speaker's not here tonight. You know, sometimes he gets caught in a bind. However, let me say this. You know, when I was his age,
when I was his age. Yeah, that's a few years ago. You know, you could have asked me, and I don't mean this in the wrong way, but I think the preacher will understand this. Now, some of you may not, but I think the preacher will. You know, you could ask him to get up here and speak on almost any subject, and he has spent enough time in the Word that he could open the Scripture and he could bring a proper message on the subject that you asked him to bring it on. Now, he has not prepared for that specific message, but he has spent enough time in the Word that he's properly prepared where he could get up and do that thing. But what I'm trying to say is this. Whatever we're doing for the honor and the glory and the praise of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and our Father in heaven, we need to put proper preparations into it so we are properly prepared. Now, I will say this to you even. You know, when my wife and I do a special, maybe you should find another word for that because it's not very special to your ears when I sing. However, you know, we practice a lot. And I asked Miss Donna, I said, can we come over? Because, you know, I can listen to YouTube and I can play that along. And I can find, most of the time, I can find the song that we're singing. And a couple of times I thought, oh boy, if she's sick, maybe I should record this so I could at least, you know, play it on my phone or something like that while I try to sing. But, you know, we need to be prepared to serve God and to give Him honor and glory and praise through the life that we live. And then there's another thing. We need to decide to assist others in what they're doing that's going to bring glory and honor and praise to our Father, Jesus, and Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter what it is, we need to be prepared and ready to help whoever it is. If you've got a need in what you want to do to bring God honor and glory and praise, I need to be willing to help you on the back seat, not where I'm visible or anything else. You know, David, he saw the goal. And the goal was to build something that would bring honor and glory to God. He saw that goal. It was for the glory of God. Amen. And he also saw that this temple that he wanted to build, it would be good for all the Israelites. It would be good for them to have a place where God was permanently in a permanent dwelling place. And he surveyed it. He knew there was going to be obstacles. But he knew that there were resources that would overcome those obstacles. And there were obstacles. Obstacle for him was what? He'd shed too much blood. But there was resources around which he could work around it. And you know one thing I liked about David, and if you read through there, you'll find out one thing he did. He prayed for his son Solomon. He supported the man that was going to complete his goal. He prayed for him. And you know, sometimes someone says, oh, I'm sorry, but not much I can do for you, but pray. Hallelujah. What could you do better than to pray for someone? What could you do better than to pray for the pastor while he's preaching? What could you do better to pray for the souls that's come up here to be saved? You know, prayer is the most important thing we can do. And too many times, we give it a back seat. You know, can I tell you the truth? Sometimes my mind don't keep up with where I want to be. And I'll tell you the truth, sometimes even when I'm praying, I have to cut my prayer off short because I lose my train of thought. Right. You know, I can't help it. I'm being honest with you. I'm not proud of that fact, but I'm being honest with you. My prayer gets cut short because I've lost my train of thought that I was going through because it's trying to go too many directions at one time. And you know, it's a one-track mind, and it wants to go two tracks at the same time, and that don't work. But, you know, we need to pray for people. We can't do anything more important than praying for them. And then David also, he prepared. He prepared everything he could for Solomon. One of David's greatest virtues was his willingness to ensure that his work and ministry did not end with his death. He didn't want it to end with his death. And you know something? As I've studied this, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to rewrite some things about when I do die. I want more, you know, even if you don't have much, a little bit helps. I'll get to that in a minute. You know, I want to give more to the Lord. I want to give more for Him to use and to prepare sinners to be saved. David undertook a major project. He collected the material. He clearly understood that he was not able to finish that God-honoring project. He was not able to do it, but he could prepare not only his son, and he did. He tried to prepare the person, and he tried to prepare the material. He saw the goal. God had appointed Solomon to build a temple. And David devoted every resource he had to try to equip his son and make that task easier for his son. And you know, we could make the task easier for our pastor. We could make the task easier for all of God's work. You know, missions. Sometimes I get to thinking, I miss it. I wish it was there. I might have told some of you this, but you know the toilets over there fill up with water during the rainy season, and the waste material wash out of that deep pit. And when you go to church, you have to walk through that to get to the church door sometimes. You know, a few dollars here and a few dollars there will help them bring in field dirt to fill up above that level and stuff like that. Just takes a few dollars to do some things like that that need to be done. And you know, that's for the honor and the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ also. David, he saw the goal. God had appointed Solomon to build a temple. David devoted every resource he had to try to equip his son for that purpose. Other people, sometimes people are not interested in these projects. And you know, I am an oddball and I'm different. And I told someone the other day, I love to talk to another missionary. You know why? Only another missionary thinks like I think on some subjects. You know, the pastor, I'll guarantee you this. There's sometimes he just needs to talk to another pastor because that other pastor thinks the same way he thinks. And you need to talk to someone that's on the same thought pattern as your own. Sometimes we're just not interested in helping others when they're going to get the credit for it. Philippians 3:14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Yeah, by the way, his name's written down here. It was Vance that said that about, he said, I believe Walt Disney saw this and that's the reason it's here today. David said he had his own palace. Now he wanted God to have a place like him. He said, why should I live in a house of cedar when my Lord lives in a house of curtains? 1 Chronicles 17, who am I, O Lord? And what is mine house that thou hast brought me hitherto? Then verse 20 of the same chapter says, O Lord, there is none like thee, neither is there any other God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Colossians 1:18, then in all things he might have the preeminence. In all things, God should have the preeminence. And what we're doing, no matter what it is, we should try to help God to get the preeminence in it. Amen. David is saying, Lord, we need to build you a house so your name can be magnified forever. David was truly thankful for all that God had done for him. He recognized all that God had done for him. And he wanted to give his time, his energy, and his treasure to something that would be for God. It was for the good of others. It was good for the glory of God, but it was good for others. He wanted other people to be able to see. You know, Avlot Thompson, he was a I can't even remember now. You know, he said, if a job's worth doing, it's worth doing right. Mm-hmm. Now, the man that made that quote, I will admit, he was not the kind of man that we want to follow after, but he did have a good thought there. If a job is worth doing, it's worth doing right. No matter what it is. You know, that's a thing that I guess I'm more disappointed with Americans these days, because no one takes any pride in their work. You know, you take your car in for, well, okay, let me just say this. The house that I have over on, what street do we, Whiting Drive. You know, I put a roof up on it over the outside, sunshade, whatever you call it, you know. I'm going to say carport. I can't, porch roof, I guess maybe would be the right terminology. I wanted someone to do it for me, and I started asking questions about who could do it. And I finally ended up at, I don't remember if it was Lowe's, I think probably Lowe's. Might have been Home Depot. And I said, who can I get to come and put a roof up for me? So I found this one guy, and his price was a little high, but he told me this. He said, I know my price is a little bit high, but he said, when I get through with your job, it'll be done right. You won't have to call me back out to make me redo something. So I went ahead and I paid him a little bit extra. And I called him out three times and he still didn't get everything right. So I finally got up on the roof and repaired what he was supposed to have done to start with. You know, what am I saying? He had no pride in his work. He talked like he did. He said, look, you're going to pay me a little bit more, but I'm going to do it right for you the first time. You won't have to call me back out. And after calling him out three times, it still wasn't done right. Because he had no pride in his work. And you know, you take your car in for a repair. How many times do you have to take it back before it's done right? No one has any pride in their work. And you know, even sometimes in church we see the same thing. We're not properly prepared because we don't have any pride in our work. David wanted to build this because he knew it would be good for the other people. He knew it would be good for his people Israel to see. His heart was always with his people. He knew that Israel was God's people. The temple was for the people. You know what God told him? God told him, he said, I'm going to give you a house, not a brick or mortar. But he said, your house is going to live on forever. If your kids will follow our advice. David led his nation to serve God, and that's what he wanted to do. He desired that his people would love God and serve him the way he was loving God and serving him. And you know that, I'm going to say this to you folks, and you know, you're the cream of the crop. Let me preach like I'm preaching to the whole church, okay? You know, I'll guarantee you, there's times that the pastor looks out over us and he sees us and he's, preacher, don't look at me when I say this, okay? Because it's true. Bob Stamper could do more for the church than he's doing. He's right. Every time I try to do something, though, Betty says, what'd you do to your head this time? And I said, honey, I don't know. Since the radiation, that skin up there is kind of thin and loose, and I don't even know I hit it sometimes, and I've reached up there and it's bleeding already. David, he surveyed the path. 2 Samuel 7, 1 through 1 and 2. We won't go read that right now because of time. You know, God had done so much for him, and he was burdened to do something for God. His friend Nathan, see, now I dwell in a house of cedar, but God dwells within curtains. Nathan knew that David wanted to build a house for the Lord, and he knew that it was going to be a big project. And he knew there was obstacles. The obstacles was that David had shed too much blood. 1 Chronicles 22:8, but the word of the Lord came to me, saying, thou hast shed blood abundantly, and hast made great wars. Thou shalt not build an house unto my name,
because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. Many would have been discouraged at that time. And they would have said, okay, if I can't do it, I'll just forget about it. But David said, no, we can do something about it. Someone else can do it. And David accepted God's will that Solomon would do the work. Any service we attempt in opposition to God's will, it's not service, but it's rebellion. We attempt to do things that God don't want us to do. You know, look at Cain. God told him what to do to prepare a sacrifice. But Cain had his own mindset on what he wanted to do. So he didn't follow God's rule. And because of that, one thing led to another, to another, to another, to the point Cain killed his brother. You know, Joseph, sometimes we might wonder, why does God allow circumstances in our lives that seems to hinder us from serving Him? Like Joseph. Joseph was a good man, and yet his brothers sold him into slavery and captivity. And he went down, and in the end, those brothers came down there, and they started apologizing to Joseph. And Joseph said, listen to chapter 50, verse 20. You thought evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Joseph knew why God had allowed him to be sold into captivity. He saved a whole nation, including his own family, because of the detour that he had to take as he served the Lord. Mary and Martha, you know, their brother died. They knew that Jesus could have healed their brother. And they were hurt and disappointed that Jesus hadn't done it. However, Jesus had another plan. He did not want to heal him. He wanted to raise him from the dead. And numerous, if you'll read this story, you'll find out numerous people were saved because Jesus raised him from the dead. You know, a week or so ago, I told you about that Baltimore coach that said, don't steal unless I tell you to. And one guy thought he knew more than the coach did, so he stole second base from first to second. And the coach went to him later and said, because you did that, they walked the next batter, who was hopefully one that might have knocked a home run and drove you in off of first base. And he said, because of that, I had to put a pinch hitter in, and I didn't have a pinch hitter later on when I needed it. You see, the coach saw the whole story, and he knew what was taking place. And he said, if I don't tell you to steal, don't. Follow my rules. And you know, that's the way it is with God. God is saying, I see the whole story. Don't try to get ahead of me. Wait and let me tell you what to do and when to do it and how to do it, and everything will work out great. Mary and Martha, they were very disappointed. The Apostle Paul, he said, I got a thorn in my flesh. The Lord said, yeah, but there's a reason for it. And Paul said later, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I will glory in my infirmities, that God might have glory for my life. If that's what I need, if I need this thorn in my flesh, Lord, let me keep it. Don't take it away. But Lord, I'd be happy if you decided to remove it. There was obstacles. And you know, we'll have obstacles as we try to serve the Lord. You know, what'll be those obstacles? Every one of us will have something different. David, his response to the obstacle was he accepted it. And he got on and made another plan
that would help his son to complete what he wanted to do. And there were resources. First, there was a person. That person was Solomon. God had chosen the man that he wanted to complete that project. And he told David, he said, David, you're not the man to complete it. I already have a man chosen. It's your son, Solomon. I want him to be the one. And there was a plan. David gives Solomon the pattern, the plans, the blueprint. He gave him everything he needed. He gave him the material. Can you imagine just the gold at one time that David gave him? Now, David, I don't think, was that rich. I think the nations round about helped him with that. $120 billion at one time, plus all the other things and the silver. And you know, there was, back then, we don't know, but it's very possible that silver cost more than gold did back then. We don't know what it was. David had a vision for the construction. The precious metals, it was all collected for him. God deserved the best. We need to give him the best that we have. No matter what it is. You know something, guys? You see me sitting up here Sunday evening practicing. I went and I told Donna that last Sunday. I said, you know, I know this thing we're doing, the cantata, it's very difficult. But praise the Lord, you got me singing in there to help them with their problems. Yeah, that's what she did. She laughed. You know, I'm serious. Sometimes when I'm back there, I don't sing. Because when I have someone near me that sings proper and in order, when I start singing, I hear them. Sometimes they start trying to sing where I'm at, and no one can get there because it's not a note or anything else. You know, however, some of you could beat me. And if you want to, if you'll come up and tell me, Bob, you're messing things up there. Let me sing in your place. Praise God. It might take two or three of you. How about that? Two or three of you to replace me. But you know, someone else can do it better than I can. But if no one's going to be there, at least I'm a warm body. Donna, is it good to see me sitting there and knowing I'm trying? I won't ask who is it that usually sits next to me. I won't ask you if I help you with your singing. I won't ask you that because you hurt my feelings when you tell me the truth. David supported the man. I want to share with you, listen to this. 1 Chronicles 29:19. And given to Solomon my son, listen to this, given to Solomon my son a perfect heart, to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, thy statutes, and to do all these things, and to build a palace for which I have made provision. David's praying for his son. And you know what? It's not because he's his son. It's because he's going to do something that he wants done for our God in heaven. Amen. He wants that house to be magnificent for his God. And he's praying. He says, give my son a perfect heart to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies and thy statutes. I'm praying for you. That's the least I can do. That's the most we can do. Luke 22:31. The Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But he says, the Lord said, I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art conceived, strengthen thy brethren. And you know, because of that, Peter preached a sermon. 3,000 people were saved. And the church growed by leaps and bounds and everything else. Peter had a hand in it all. He let the Lord down. The Lord said, behold, Satan wants you, but I prayed for you. And you know, I believe this. People's prayed for this old dude right here so many times. You've prayed for us, and we thank you. You know, God bless you. And thanks for giving me this opportunity. Thank you, preacher. I'm sorry, 20 minutes, 10 minutes.